Hello, and welcome to this episode of Life Swing Style. Today, we shall be exploring sex in the lifestyle, what pleasures can be discovered, and why people participate. Settle down, open your ears, and join me as we discover and explore together, because sharing is caring. Why? What's the point of the lifestyle anyhow? Why do people swing? Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? It may be an odd question to ask, but in order to understand something, in this case the swinging lifestyle, it's important to understand why. Why? Well, we're curious animals with an inquisitive nature, and our sexuality is an important part of that. Birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. On the most basic of levels, our big old ape brains are designed to motivate us to do the survival thing, like fight or flight, or feasting and fucking. Our desire for sex is programmed into our primal brain areas for species survival to create the next generation. It's just biology. Of course, our underlying biology isn't the only deciding factor on whether or not we have sex. There's a whole flock of cultural and emotional reasons why we have, or avoid, sex. We all know that sex is an important part of life, and has a huge part in our general well-being. We understand that orgasms play a significant part in bonding with others. There's physical and emotional benefits to having sex, from reduced risk of heart disease to improving self-esteem. Of course, you can still have similar benefits without fucking like rabbits. Engaging in other pleasurable activities like exercising, interacting with a pet, and having a strong network of friends could potentially offer the same benefits. Sex is just one way of improving your quality of life. Is sex important? The only difference between hungry and horny is where you stick the cucumber. We understand the importance of food and water, sufficient rest, clothing and shelter. Anyone familiar with Maslow's pyramid of human needs, reproduction is one of the most basic requirements for survival. Sex as a human need is a little bit odd. We don't need it, but we do. Any Buddhist monk on their journey through samsara will tell you that the desires will lead to suffering, even if those desires will bring untold pleasures. It may be odd to realise that sex itself is somewhat of a Goldilocks need. We don't need too much. We may suffer from too little. Of course, the big bears in the lifestyle fringes may prefer a bigger bowl. It's known that the more sex a couple has, the happier they will be. Perhaps it's not just the physical act of sex that's important. We can eat gruel every day for substance, but gain little pleasure from it. Perhaps the physical intimacy and emotional bonds have something to do with it. We're tribal animals and need not only food offerings from our alpha males and females, but also tenderness and affection. Sex can bond people in ways that other things can't. It's that deep, electrifying energy that flows between bodies and minds. Some may even call it sacrosanct. Indeed, sex as an action is often viewed as a sacred act in most world religions. We often assume that good relationships also have an active and satisfying sex life as part of their dynamic. So, is good sex only part of an established two-person relationship? There's plenty of academic research that shows that affection and sex in a loving relationship are correlated, that more affection can lead to a satisfying and happy sex life. So, what of the other types of sex? Allegedly, some figures reveal that 74% of men and 68% of women admitted that they would have an affair if they could get away with it. Non-monogamy is definitely a thing when it comes to sex, and good sex at that. But no one likes a cheater. There's plenty of couples within the lifestyle that are looking for singles, and yet will not want to play with a single who is actually in a relationship. Honesty is an important part of the lifestyle. We're in an open and frank environment. Communication, consent, and sexual exploration all take a degree of honesty. Alongside the openness when it comes to our naked bodies and kinks, There are, of course, many couples who prefer to play as singles within the lifestyle and are completely honest with their long-term romantic partners in an open relationship. They will happily return to the marital bed with stories and new experiences to share with one another, furthering heightening their own sex lives. Honesty is key. Lifestyle encounters go further than connected to Tinder-style casual hookup sex. It's odd that the average lifestyle sexual encounter may be briefer than a one-night stand. The difference is the frame of mind rather than the action of sex itself. If casual hookup sex is a brief, hungry sexual encounter, then lifestyle sex can be seen as the same, with the added social and exploration side attached. You can discover more about your own sexual preferences, what you like and what works for you, than you may not have had the opportunity to explore before. And it's an excellent path to discovering interesting people too. Sex boosts endorphins and feel-good hormones, as long as people feel empowered and it's healthy. It's a natural thing. Of course, lifestyle sexual encounters aren't for everyone. Just like any other form of sex, not everyone enjoys role play or pegging or bondage or water sports. There's many reasons why, historically, us social animals live in societies that promote romantic, monogamous relationships. From swinging in branches to hunting in the open savannah, our ancestors developed into farmers, builders, seamstresses, and accountants. As our tribal societies grew bigger throughout history, more and more social norms, rules, and governments developed, creating laws, cultures, institutions, and political systems in order to allow us to develop into civilized humans, where our animal hunter-gatherer instincts were molded into more acceptable, technologically advanced people. The animal in us was caged and tamed, and how we fuck was part of that. So why swinging? Why do people explore further into having group sex? There's a species of bird called the Arabian babbler, and it lives a very PG-friendly sex life. Scientists say that it is the only species on the Earth today that prefers to mate in privacy, other than humans. Obviously, those scientists have never visited a swinging club or a dogging spot, as they will soon discover that many humans prefer openly mating in public view. I've looked for research on why it's assumed that humans prefer sex in private and couldn't find an awful lot of explanation why. Apparently, the reason us humans, and the babblers, began looking for privacy during sex was because the male wanted to prevent other males from seeing his female partner in a state of arousal. This privacy means that the male can maintain control over his sexual partner while also allowing for continued cooperation within a social group. There may be a reason why the lifestyle is favoured by women as a way of sexual expression once they come across swingers clubs and kink events. If aliens were to look at planet Earth from afar, studying the various reproductive habits of its inhabitants, they would more than likely conclude that group sex was the way all of us naughty animals do it. Garter snakes in Canada have mating balls of tens of thousands of writhing bodies, a massive warmth-producing orgy of ecstasy. North Atlantic right whales enjoy a gangbang, where a lucky female can take on up to three males at once. If glory holes existed in the wild, chimps would be the first in line, where a single male with his huge balls will endeavour to spread his seed with as many females as possible. Those aliens, looking to the lowly human inhabitants, may be a little disappointed with the lack of barbs, bumps, and ridges on a human cock compared to other animals on the planet, discovering a simple, smooth shaft in boxer shorts across the globe, which, according to a number of scientists, mean that a species is fairly monogamous, with ball sizes suggesting that we are kind of leaning towards polygamy. And who would object to a FMF threesome every now and again? If culturally we're so used to fucking in private, perhaps that's one of the things that makes the lifestyle so exciting. It's a taboo. The forbidden is exotic and erotic. The lifestyle brings exploration, curiosity, an adventure, escapism. The majority of those in the lifestyle tend to keep their weekend escapades secret from family and friends. In some regions of the globe, disclosure of being in the lifestyle can lead to social exile, loss of employment, and estranged families. Engaging in some activities can also be illegal depending on local laws. What is acceptable in a social community depends on where you are and who you associate with, despite the place or face of the lifestyle. There are plenty of sexy habitats out there to explore the most wild of fantasies, and most of them are not too far away from civilization. It's that taboo that you're doing something naughty that causes those excited tingles, from the initial moment talking it through with a partner, to the butterflies from walking up to a club door for the first time, right through to that very first sexual encounter. Finding the right secret spot to be publicly sexual is the most liberating of experiences. However, having sex in an elevator is wrong on so many levels. Raw, animalistic sexual activity is fun. One of the few great untouched wildernesses left on the planet are those dark, moist caves of our deepest fantasies. The hunt calls us. One of the rare opportunities that the lifestyle offers swingers and kinksters is the ability to act out on ancient instincts. Ask many swinging couples and singles about what are the main things they enjoy about the lifestyle. Sex isn't at the top of the list. The hunt is. Teaming up with their partner, getting to know the terrain of the club, the thrill of the chase, until either the feeding frenzy or the acceptance of mischances. Sex is never guaranteed in any legitimate lifestyle venue. If advertised otherwise, then that's not swinging or kink, that's a brothel. The anticipation, to see if there's an initial attraction, the explicit exhibits of body language, to hone flirting skills, to display sexual attractiveness, to hunt or be hunted as willing prey in a sexually charged atmosphere. All of the things that are so very basic to our sense of what it is to be human, and yet rarely exist in modern society filled with smartphones, supermarkets, and home offices. It's no accident that much of the language associated with the lifestyle centres around animals. We are allowed to act out animal impulses when we take on the role of a bull or a vixen. We appreciate the silver foxes and enjoy watching as the cougar hunts for young, muscular cubs. Kinky kittens and puppies love their masters' cages and leashes, and unicorns delight in a stag's embrace. Bears, cuckolds and snow bunnies all discover new experiences on differing edges of the lifestyle jungle. There are some labels that we occasionally give to others. Peacocks may be a little standoffish in clubs and parties. Don't you know that they're there to be looked at and told how beautiful they are, not to play or be touched? You'll ruffle their feathers. And of course, nobody likes the solitary panda in the corner, the one who eats, shoots, and leaves. What's the point in the lifestyle? We're all sexual animals. The lifestyle venues are just the environment in which we thrive with the ability to act out our basic instincts. And who can say no to a beautiful cock or a sweet pussy?